The children are making their way to Bible study. Lord, bless them and keep them, grow them in the wisdom and admonition of the Lord. The title today is Rooted and Grounded in Christ. Now, I played with several titles this week. The subtitle is Deep Roots and Wide Arms. And this is from Ephesians chapter 3, in which we're studying. The verses you will see up there are 14 through 21. They were read for us earlier in the ESV. And this is Paul's prayer to the Ephesian people. And it's my prayer to you. I pray this prayer for you. So when I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, Creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots grow down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep the love of Christ is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you'll never fully understand it. But then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, glory be to God. By his mighty power, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever dare to ask or hope. May he be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever throughout all generations. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this prayer written by Paul for the Ephesians believers. Lord, we take these deep and beautiful words and we receive them as a prayer for us. Lord, we want to know you more. We want to sink our roots down deep into your love and receive from you the nourishment, the blessings, the promises, all that we need, and you've provided everything we need. So Lord, help us to come little by little, maybe slowly by slowly, into a deeper relationship with you. Thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you for the means by which we can have a restored relationship with you and become your adopted sons and daughters. We love you, and we thank you for who you are and how much you love us. Lord, thank you for this prayer. Through it, teach us to be more like your Son. Teach us how to understand the understandable, how to comprehend the incomprehensible, which is you, Lord. Reveal yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've all experienced someone staying at our house. Maybe it's a house guest for the weekend or a distant relative passing through. When they are there in our house, we're on our best behavior. You keep the dishes done, you hide the laundry in the closet, and you make sure that the public areas of your home, as best as possible, look perfect. They have a room, but they don't have the run of the house. They are a resident, but they are not at home. Well, many of us treat Jesus like a permanent house guest. We gave him a room in our hearts when we received him and were baptized, but we still tend to keep certain doors locked. We keep the financial room private, the relationship closet bolted, and the secret ambition basement off limits. We want Jesus in the house. We're not sure, quite sure we want him moving the furniture. true spiritual maturity isn't found in trying to work for God, but in allowing Christ to be fully at home in us, surrendering the keys to every room of our heart so that His love can come and become the very soil we grow in. You cannot experience the fullness of God's power until you surrender the fullness of your heart. I think that's an important statement. You cannot experience the fullness of God's power until you surrender the fullness of your heart. The Apostle Paul knew in these passages that information about God is never enough. We need a habitation of God. In Ephesians 3, 17 through 19, our verses today, Paul prays a prayer that moves from the foyer of faith into the deep living spaces of a transformative relationship, to literally being rooted and grounded in it. So let's look at our first point, what it means for Christ to be truly at home in our hearts. This is the foundation, right? The subfloor. Christ is the cornerstone. The heart that is at home, verse 17a, and I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in Him. So my first thought this morning is at home. And this Greek word here for make His home in you, right, means to settle down permanently, not just visit as a guest. Paul is praying for a transition from Christ being a resident to Christ being the president of your life. When you buy a home, maybe a fixer-upper, you might live in it while you work on it. At first, you stay in one of the clean corners, but as time goes by, you tear down walls, replace the plumbing, and change the decor. To have Christ at home means giving Him the keys to the basement, your past, and to the attic, your dreams, so He can renovate all of it. So are you keeping Jesus in the guest room of Sunday mornings? Or does He have the keys to your checkbook, your social media, and your private thoughts? This is a beautiful image of our hearts. And I want to explore this just a little bit more. The Hebrew word for heart is leb, and the Greek word for heart is cardia, where we get the cardiac word, right? Both terms primarily signify the center of a person's inner life, encompassing the mind, the will, the emotions, and volition. It's the seat of moral decisions and true character, rather than just the physical organ that we usually call heart. It's the place God made for inhabitation, or simply stated, for Him to live in, right? And so I want to think just for a minute about creation. And I'm a big picture thinker, right? So anytime I think about the wisdom and scope of God's plan, you know, I fall to my knees and I think, wow, think about creation. But creation is temporary. Think about that for a minute. The tabernacle, that traveling tent, where God told them to very detailed rules. I just read through that in my morning devotions. What happened? The glory of God rested on that place. He lived there, so to speak, at times. He led them from that place, right? Think about the cloud and the pillar of fire. But it was temporary. God allowed the building of a temple by Solomon. It was destroyed. Another one was built. It was destroyed. It was temporary. Your heart is not temporary. You were made for eternity. Your heart was made for union with God in Christ. So I ask, is your heart a garden oasis like Eden? Or is your heart a desert wasteland? So let's explore a little bit what the Word teaches about our hearts and being rooted in Him as we trust in Him. So I've come up with some images because I love this imagery and I love this prayer for me in my life. This is just spoken volumes. So I want to give you some images of heart and tree. So the first one, Proverbs 4, 20 and following, Solomon is saying to his son, listen to my wisdom, right? When I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, so we're thinking of the Word, okay? When he says my Word, I'm thinking about the Word of God, the wisdom of God. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate into your heart. Right? Let the Word of God penetrate into your heart. Don't lose sight of them. I read that already. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to the whole body. 23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And notice it's kind of barren lands where you have water running. And then Isaiah 41, 18 and 19, where God says in the promise of restoration, right, the people who were suffering, he said, I will open up rivers for them on the high plateaus. I will give them fountains of water in the valleys. I will fill the deserts with pools of water. Rivers fed by springs will flow across the parched ground. And I will plant trees in the barren desert. And he lists some of the trees there. And then moving to Isaiah 58, 11, the Lord said, the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. And then Jesus, right, two times with the woman at the well, he said, anyone who drinks this water, the well water, will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. And then look at John 7:37, at the climax of the Festival of Shelters. And it's this beautiful, beautiful imagery because the Festival of the Shelters was the remembering of God's provision in the desert. And what did he do in the desert? Yes, he gave them bread. He gave them quail. But he gave them water from a rock. And Jesus said, standing and shouting to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And notice the parentheses, what John said. When he said living waters, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. So this leads us to our second point. How are we rooted in Christ? This is the stability. And sub-thought, sinking the taproot. This is to me the heart of the gospel. It's the heart of this prayer. It's possibly the heart of Ephesians. May your roots grow down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. So think about being rooted in Christ. A tree is only as strong as its root system is deep. So Paul uses this agricultural metaphor to describe spiritual stability. If our roots are in our performance, we wither and fail. If our roots are in our circumstances, we blow over when the storm hits. And storms will hit, right? So I want to continue this beautiful thought. Psalm 1, we covered it last summer in the Summer of Psalms. What does it say? Oh, the joys of those who delight in the law of the Lord, the Word of God, meditating on it day and night. What are they like? They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. I hope you've memorized it, because Summer of Psalm is coming. And then look at Jeremiah 17:7 and following. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. What are they like? Trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. And as if the culmination of all eternity, speaking about when we are in the kingdom fully, from Revelation 22:1, in the vision, then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. This is what you and I have to look forward to in the great kingdom, but it's what we can experience now. Look at the example of a coastal cypress. It's a tree that often faces hurricane force winds. And these trees don't survive because they're rigid. They survive because their roots are either incredibly deep or intertwined with the trees around them. When your roots are in God's love, the wind of crisis might shake your leaves, but it cannot uproot your soul. What are you rooted in? If your source of worth is your job or your reputation or another person, you are planted in shallow soil. So this leads us to our third point, the power to understand God's infinite grace. So the dimensions, and this is a beautiful imagery. And may you have the power, Paul says, to understand, as all God's people should, right? We really should understand this, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. So what's this power? Paul uses four dimensions to show us God's love is really unmeasurable. Now, I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to go to the Grand Canyon. It's amazing. I mean, when you pull up to the rim and you get out and you look at it, you don't believe it because it is so vast. And we took our boys there on one of our statesides because, you know, New Mexico and California, Arizona's in the middle. Jonathan, when he went and looked at it, he turned around and ran back, this little guy, and jumped up into my arms and hugged me and said, thank you, thank you, thank you for bringing me to see this. So when you look at a map of the Grand Canyon, and maybe that's all you've been able to know, you know it's big. But you don't understand it until you stand on that rim and you realize you can't see the end of it. Paul is saying in these verses, stop looking at the map of God's love and start standing on the rim. God's power, his love is so wide, it includes everyone. It reaches every nation, every language, and every person, including you. There is no one too far from God's love. It's long enough to last throughout eternity. It started before time began, and it always will be the never-ending everlasting love of God. It's high enough to lift us out of our sin. It lifts us up to sit in heavenly places. It's noble and holy. God's power and his love is deep enough to reach us in our lowest valleys. It reaches down to the lowest point, death on the cross, to find you and me. The goal isn't to master information, but to be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. It's a journey of a lifetime that starts with a simple yes to his presence. You need the power of the Holy Spirit just to grasp this. It's too big for the human brain to comprehend without divine help, intervention. And that leads us to our fourth point, which is the paradox. How can you know what you cannot fully understand? Knowing the unknowable. Paul wrote, "May you experience the love of Christ." He admits, though it is so great, you will never fully be able to understand it. But then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And this is experiential knowledge. This is a beautiful paradox. Paul wants us to know something that is beyond knowledge. This isn't about intellectual or academic knowledge. It's about experiencing God, knowing him experientially. And so as I was thinking, praying through this, I thought, what are the basic steps to experiencing the love of Christ? So I just came up with five. First one, receive the Holy Spirit's revelation. The Bible teaches us that we cannot convince ourselves into feeling God's love. It is a gift of grace poured out into our hearts when we receive Christ. So the action is, pray specifically for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we studied earlier. The reality from Romans 5:5 reads, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Experience begins with asking the Spirit to open up your spiritual senses. I often ask, God, reveal yourself to me. Jesus, show me how much you love me. Show me yourself. This morning, in my quiet time with Jesus, he said, lean over. I mean, he went like this, and he said, lean over. And so I leaned over in my mind, in my heart, and he said, I love you. And I said, I know, but thank you for telling me. Second thought is root yourself in community. From Ephesians 3:18, it's this, together with all the Lord's holy people. The action is engage in deep, authentic fellowship. This is what we're continually talking about. It's because the reality is, because we are the body of Christ, we often experience his love, through the hands, words, and sacrifice of other believers. You cannot fully experience the love of the head, Christ, if you are detached from the body, the church. And then the third one, practice abiding. And this is that remaining, that contemplation with Jesus. John 1:15, Jesus invites us to abide in his love. This is a call to slow down and to dwell in him. This is part of sinking your roots down deep into his love, right? The action is set a time, side time for silent prayer. Lectio Divina is just meditating on the Psalms or meditating on the Gospels. And I did tell you last week for Lent, I deleted all of the games off my phone, but that's kind of pithy. I'm actually doing other things. I'm trying to complete the 30 days to resiliency. I started in January and couldn't complete it. I started in February, but there weren't enough days to do 30 days. And so this morning, I opened up day one again. But I'm also using the Lectio 365 app. And they're doing Lent with the Desert Fathers, and it's wonderful. So I highly recommend the Lectio 365 app. But the reality is, focus on the life of Jesus, how he touched the leper, restored Peter after his failure, and wept with Mary. As you contemplate his character, the width and the length and the height and the depth begin to feel personal. You enter into his character. You abide with him. And the fourth step is out of obedience and service. Step in obedience and service. This is a unique way we feel Christ's love when we act as his vessel. So the action is serve someone who cannot repay you. Right? Serve one another, love one another, submit to one another. The reality, Jesus said that if we keep his commands, we remain in his love. When you extend mercy to another, you often feel the echo of the mercy that Christ has extended to you. You experience his love by participating in it. And then accept your belovedness beyond performance. And this is what I really pray and pray, hope, wish, plead. I want you to see yourself through God's eyes. I want you to see how Jesus sees you. The greatest barrier to experiencing his love is this performance trap that we so easily get messed up in. The idea that we must be good to be loved. You don't have to be good to be loved. You are loved in spite of your goodness and in spite of your badness, right? It's a mixture of both. The action is practice daily surrender of your shame, the negative, all the wounds, all the garbage, all your sin, and the positive, all your accomplishments, right? No matter what you do for God, you just give it to him. Give him both. He's ready and willing to take all. The reality is Christ loved us while we were still sinners. To experience this, you must allow him to love the parts of you that you don't like. So think about the difference. We're going to go back to the ocean. Between a scientist and a scuba diver. The scientist can study the chemical composition of ocean water in a lab. The scientist knows about the water, but the scuba diver, the one who jumps in, experiences the ocean by being immersed in it. The diver is filled with the environment of the water. God doesn't just want you to pass a test about his love. He wants you to drown in it. He wants you to jump, both feet or dive in, either way. Jump into the beautiful ocean, that soil of God's marvelous love. So being filled with God, I think I have to go back. Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. Being filled with God, the fullness of life and power that comes from God. This fullness of God only comes when we stop trying to fill ourselves with the world's substitutes. So, what are you filling yourself with? And I did put a last slide up there as we conclude. We started this journey by realizing we were banging our heads against the wall of our own strength. But the solution isn't more effort, it's more immersion. When your roots are deep in his love and your heart is his home, you don't have to manufacture strength. You become a vessel for his power to live and abide and act in and out of. You are the tree planted in Christ, and your roots are growing more and more into his love, and what happens? The fruit. the fruit of the Spirit at work in your life. Other people can see you and know love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. Let's stand for closing prayer and our response song. Father, when we think about the wisdom and scope of your plan, we do fall to our knees and we pray to you, thanking you, Lord Jesus, that you are at work in our hearts today. Help us to sink our roots, our will, our desire down into your love. Empower us with the ability to experience the infinite depths of your grace. Lord, help us to stop settling for a thimbleful of your presence, your love. Expand our capacity to understand your love, the width, the length, the height, and the depth of it. Make your home in us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.